Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, it's time for Wilmington Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, and welcome to yet another rainy Thursday day. It's kind of crazy out there. This is a great opportunity for us to get the people back in the studio that were supposed to be here during the hurricane of last week. And they brought a little bit of hurricane weather with them this morning just to make it fun. We're going to have a great show, though. We got in the studio Brad Graham, who's the creative director and the director of client relations over at Blue Tone Media. Hello, yep. Brad.
Hey, how's it going?
It's great. These are my guys. They created my site. They host my email. Good guys over there.
Yep.
We're going to have a conversation with Brad in a couple minutes about what's going on over at Blue Tone. But we're going to start this conversation with Tobin Goetz and Brendan Collins of the Seahawk Innovation. Hello, first of all, to Brendan. Hello, Brendan.
Good morning, Anne.
Thanks for joining us. Brendan is actually a Seahawk partner and the Mimi Jumi CEO. This is going to be an interesting conversation.
I look forward to telling you all about it.
I'm looking forward to hearing all about it. And Tobin. Hello, Tobin.
Good morning, Anne. How are you?
Oh, I'm great, actually. It's so good to finally get you in the studio.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here. So I'll have to reciprocate and have you on our show when it resumes again.
Sounds good to me. Hey, tell everybody what Seahawk Innovation is.
Well, that's a loaded question, Anne. It's a lot of things, but primarily it's a venue that Tom Looney, you remember Tom?
I certainly do remember Tom.
Tom and I created Seahawk Innovation at a challenge that was issued by Chancellor Miller to get the university involved in what we call university-centered, place-based economic development. And the idea is that Tom and I believe that if we do well for ourselves, it puts us in a position to do good for the community. And so we said, what better way than to take a conventional incubator and drop in at this foreign spaceship called an innovation fund or an innovation stimulation company and allow it to be in the midst of the university while trying to mine some of the intellectual property from the university, but making it available to the students, to the instructors, to come see the hardest core of entrepreneurship and fiduciary responsibility, which is business startups and the funds that make them happen. So that's kind of what Seahawk is.
Wow. That's a mouthful. So let me break this down just a little bit. Is Seahawk really dedicated to innovation coming out of the university or coming out of the intellectual property of the university, or is it broader than that?
It's broader than that. Seahawk's dedicated to be a seed crystal and a nexus to make innovation happen in Wilmington. You know, as you know, Wilmington is not a mecca of innovation like Boston, Austin, San Jose, and other parts. That's right, not yet. And we intend to be the seed crystal to make that happen. And the university has given us the opportunity to help them understand what are the commercialization possibilities for their people. But in addition, they serve as a nexus because people do come to the university here in Wilmington. It is our cultural center.
Well, sure, yeah.
In an MSA of this size, that's not, you know, no pro baseball, none of those things, you know, the university becomes our cultural nexus, especially as we age. And so entrepreneurs gravitate towards the university, and we found that with the original success of the Entrepreneurship Center.
Yeah, I think that's actually probably true everywhere you look that has a really strong entrepreneurial community. You know, you start with Silicon Valley and you start with Stanford, and you go beyond that. And the same thing happened certainly in Boston. If you didn't have MIT, would you really have a strong entrepreneurial environment? So it's great that the university and Chancellor Miller had that foresight and challenged you to do that. Thank you for taking him up on it, and we're sorry to see him go.
Well, I would say that Tom really stimulated our thinking because he, as you know, Tom has quite the penchant for research. And Tom said, look, what do we need here in Wilmington? Think about what brought us here. I mean, you and I have had this conversation before. We came for quite simply the blue water and the quality of place.
Right.
We can make quality of life anywhere, but the quality of place we can't. So what kind of businesses are conducive to enhancing the quality of place of the smallest of the 100 counties? The most densely populated of 100 counties, it's knowledge, it's innovation.
It's all about it.
And more importantly, the economic offspring of that are economic derivatives of the innovative businesses that provide a 5-to-1 multiplier. And if you go to our website. You can find out, which is seahawk.biz. You'll find the links to a fellow by the name of Enrico Moretti, who's kind of our personal shaman of economic development. And so I think you'll find that this kind of development that starts with startups, university-centered, place-based economic development, is the way of the future.
So tell us about the partnership. How does the partnership work?
Well, so the partnership with the university works like this. We buy services from them at a fair market rate, space,
sure,
internet,
yep,
you know, legal services, any number of things that are available around the university we can buy. And in return, the university gets a profit interest. It's not actually the university. I've got to clarify for my friend Rob Hoon, legal counsel. It's the University Research Foundation.
Oh, okay.
University Research Foundation gets a profit interest in our entities and entity. And so when we make money, they make money.
Gotcha.
So when we do well, we get to do good by them, because then it is intended to become someday. And this is this is not a short-term project. This is a lifetime evergreen project for me. This is it.
Right.
And so eventually, 5 to 10 years from now, the offflow of companies like Mimi Jumi, who we're going to talk about, will fund the center, and maybe even more. Maybe dream big, an innovation campus right next door to where we're at.
Very cool. Very cool. And how are you structured as an organization?
So as an organization, we're set up legally as a general partnership, and we have three general partners, and that's me, Brendan, and Jeff Renish. And then we have an affiliate partner, Dallas Romanowski, who's very active in the business community. And a shout out to Dallas, and a shout out to Tom and Jeff, who aren't here this morning. So Dallas has a relationship with his company, Cornerstone, with us, all again towards the goal of making this happen, these innovative traded sector startups that we build here in the community.
Very cool. So you have this really interesting relationship. I want to turn over here to Brendan for just a minute. You're a Seahawk partner, and you're the CEO of Mimi Jumi. How does that work? Do you get to sleep?
Very little.
Yeah.
Very little. I also have two young boys, which keeps me up at night as well.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's a lot
on
my plate.
They'll keep you up later when they get older, so don't worry. So tell us, what is Mimi Jumi?
Mimi Jumi is a company founded in Nashville by two doctors and a very talented designer. And their goal was to build and make and design the world's best baby bottle and allow breastfeeding mothers to have their baby go back and forth from the bottle, freeing them up to not constantly have to have their baby with them at all times.
Wow. Yeah.
So it's often referred to as the back-to-work bottle.
Oh, okay.
So mommies can transition back to work. And also to allow bottle-feeding babies the opportunity to experience a breast-like feeding experience.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So, wow. What made you want to get involved with this company? Because this was a pre-existing company when you became involved with it. Is that correct?
This was. That's right. So, backing up just a little bit.
Sure.
I've recently moved to Wilmington.
Yay, welcome.
Thank you. From London, England, where I spent 15 years.
Smart move, but boy, you must miss London.
I do, although yeah. Seeing the beach most days
that's
makes
a little
up
different.
For a lot.
The weather's a little different, yeah.
So I spent 15 years investing in small businesses and private equity companies in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
midway through that 15 years, I paused to get my MBA in France at a school called INSEAD, which is where I met Marcia, my now wife, and she's a Wilmington girl. So
you found a Wilmington girl in France.
I found a Wilmington girl. That's right.
Excellent.
And so over the course of our dating and my attempted wooing of her, had the opportunity to spend quite a bit of time here in Wilmington and grew to love the place. And so we, as a family, made a plan to try to move back here. And the big question was, what kind of a job could I do here in Wilmington? And so I arrived on these
perpetual question for everyone who moves to Wilmington.
Exactly right. And especially so for UNC Wilmington grads who come here for 4 years, enjoy their time here.
And they don't want to leave.
They don't want to leave.
Just like our producer.
So that is another reason why what we're doing at Seahawk Innovation is a great thing for the community, because we're going to create jobs for both UNCW grads, but for locals.
Great. So Seahawk Innovation for you came first, and Mimi Jumi came second.
Absolutely. That's right.
How do you work? How does it work that you have these two roles?
So it's important to understand that You know, at this stage in my life, Ann, I'm 56 years old, and I've been very fortunate. I've built 30 businesses. I've taken 15 of them, either public or exited successfully, over 35 years. I know you're looking and saying, you can't be that old, Tobin. And I thank you for that.
I actually was thinking, wait, he's a year older than I am.
So, at this stage in my career, I have enough entrepreneurial experience. And Brendan does 20 years earlier than me. He has enough experience. You know, he and I, we're old enough to know what to do and way young enough to still do it. And it's no different than a division manager in a very large company. They can handle multiple divisions.
Sure.
And so because our philosophy are that startups are very similar at the beginning, right? The kind of companies we want, we call them Valley of Death companies. That means they're either too big or too complex. Too big in money requirement or too complex in market complexity for friends, family, fools, and angels. And so what they really need is time and talent more than they need treasure. So a conventional venture fund could never help these businesses. Brendan's had that experience in Europe. Jeff and I and Dallas have had that experience here in the United States.
Right.
And we can do more than one of these. So our model is by putting them all together with us in a nexus. And this will be familiar to everybody. The Silicon Valley rule of 20-mile investing, the Seahawk rule is of 20-feet investing. I want the chief executive officer of CRA360, who's one of our startup companies, right next to the chief executive officer of Mimi Jumi. And oh, by the way, Brendan will probably have a secondary role in another company as a chief marketing officer, maybe even for CRA360. And we put all those businesses on the same common platforms, web design, not web content, but web design, accounting, finance, personnel, human resources, so that all of that is noise level. And we then have what Chancellor Miller identified and Tom pounced on. We call it benevolent collisions right there within 20 feet.
Benevolent collisions. This is the next book.
Next
great
book.
Title. Yeah. It's a great title. We better get to work on that. So I really like the structure. I like the format. I like the fact that, Brendan, you can roll up your sleeves and help get a new, well, not necessarily new, help regenerate a baby bottle concept that is completely new. Why Seahawk Innovation is all about innovation. What is so innovative about a baby bottle?
Well, this baby bottle is truly unique. It looks like a breast. It feels like a breast. It jumps out from the shelf, and it has.
I would assume that would definitely jump out off the shelf. It doesn't look like your basic plastic tube.
No, that's right. it's flesh toned.
Wow.
And it has the same latching mechanism as the breast.
Oh, interesting.
So what babies find is that, or mothers find is that their babies. What typically happens with a normal bottle is that a baby doesn't have to work to get the milk out of the bottle.
Right. Right.
And so the baby doesn't want to go back to the breast where it does have to work once it's experienced the bottle. With the Mimi Jimi bottle, the baby does have to work. It's the same latching mechanism, and it's a unique venting system that minimizes the amount of air that gets into the baby's belly, which reduces colic, which most young parents will...
I remember those long
problem.
Driving nights. I remember those, yes. So this is it's very interesting because it's not a brand new from scratch startup. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's correct.
And so what you're bringing to this is a set of new ideas. So it's the time, talent.
And treasure is important here too, Anne. This is a case where all three are needed because it's complex from both a business model standpoint, and it's complex because it's a high volume, high value consumer product. It needs treasure too, just to fund the accounts receivable. I mean, it's selling like crazy. And so the problems, or the opportunities, I should say, let's be optimists, with Mimi Jumi started with an accounts receivable funding issue, which became a credit issue. Their success spawned a credit issue. But as we dig in deeper, we're finding really, truly innovative business model concepts and focus that most product people don't have.
Right. Yeah. It's really interesting. So this is actually a great little case study because you're also dealing with a globalization issue, right? This product's available everywhere.
Oh, yes.
It certainly is. And that's part of my sleepless nights is dealing with Malaysia, Australia, South America.
They should just get on our clock, don't you think? I mean, day should be night should be day.
We're globalists. So It really is a complex product. It's manufactured in Austria. It's assembled in the Czech Republic. It's distributed literally around the world. And so it's a real challenge.
What kinds of fun things do you feel like you're bringing to the table? I mean, you get up in the morning and this, so it's a challenge and it's a lot of hard work, but every day you probably say something, you know, like, I'm bringing this uniquely to the table because of what, you know, Seahawk does, because of the way Seahawk thinks.
Well, I think that it's hands-on. I mean,
right.
Look, in 2014, there's no more administrative staff.
No, that's for
sure.
So
Brendan is CEO, secretary, chief cook, and bottle washer. And that is the model for 2014.
Literally bottle washer.
Literally bottle washer. Yeah. And, you know, so what's uniquely Seahawk is we do whatever it takes. I mean, I'm the chairman of the board by default, but I'm a product marketing guy for Brendan on a daily basis.
Sure.
You know, but I think globalization is something that, you know, that's a core thing that we bring. And that's why I was delighted when Brendan showed up on our doorstep. You know, here's a guy that was born in London, Ontario, migrated to London, England. His family came from London, England originally. Global education, one of the top schools on planet Earth, but then had this hands-on experience doing private equity from England into Africa. I mean, come on, guys. This is 2014. This is the epitome. This is the epitome of a partnership. And most importantly, Brendan came here with that experience because of the blue water.
Yeah.
Because of the quality
of
place.
That's right. That's right. So not to step aside from Mimi Jumi, but did I say it right?
Mimi Jumi.
Not to step aside from that, but you guys have some other cool things going on over there. Do you mind sharing a few other companies you're working with?
We do. We have a number of startups. And one of the things that, you know, that's a little difficult is we have stealth operations, you know, because innovation means novel and hard to replicate. We can't let the secret sauce out. So I can tell you a lot about one of the startups and a little about the other. So I spent 11 years in the clinical research space, and the research space is a very important cluster here in Wilmington.
Huge.
In fact, my office was in the top floor of the self-health building for 7 years. And we had built up a business of over 100 employees here in Wilmington and nearly 250 in the corporation after we merged it with a Winston-Salem company. So I know a lot about the clinical research space. So I found a fine young man here in the community, and his name is Matt Orr. And we have built a company called CRA 360. And I really can't tell you a lot about it, except it's a big data analytics play on how to make clinical trials more efficient.
Excellent.
And really enjoying working with Matt. And then really kind of, it's almost an avocation, but it is an investment by Seahawk, and we're vested in it. It's something that I can tell you about. It's called Replanet. And you guys should go to Replanet, Replanit.tv. And a local hero in my mind, Jock Brandis. Does anybody know Jock Brandis in our group here?
I don't know Jock Brandis.
Jock Brandis has a thing
called
the
But I'm sure you're going to fix that for me, aren't you?
Yeah, you bet, Ann. Full Belly Project, which
oh, sure.
is sustainable engineering.
Yeah.
Anyway, Replanet TV is a television production company that we've invested in and we're nurturing. A guy by the name of Rob Hill, a Wilmingtonian, a world-class tennis player, and the producer of the Fort Fisher Hermit story.
Oh, right, right.
So he came to us, and we love the innovation side of what Jock's doing. I would encourage everyone to call up Full Belly Project, go and visit. It's the most unique thing you've ever seen in your life. The man takes trash off the streets and turns it into functional engineering treasure that can solve world problems. He can turn old plastic seesaws into water pumps in Africa. He can take soap slivers and turn them into hand washing stations to prevent dysentery in India. The man is simply amazing. So we're funding with time, talent, and treasure a production company to get Jock's story out. And we're going to have 3 1-hour programs made that KECTV, the largest public television station in the world, has agreed to take. And if these are successful, this will become a series because Jock has about 50 or 60 inventions, and he goes all around the world doing this. It's right here in Wilmington, right in our own town. People need to know this.
Boy, you know, people don't know enough about what you guys are doing at Seahawk Innovation. And I'm really thankful that you guys spent some time with us this morning talking about that, because the impact that this will have on lifestyle for people in Wilmington, the ability to come here and work here, is huge. So thank you for doing that, and thank you for telling your story. And we're going to come back to you guys in just a minute.
Yep. No, it's our pleasure.
I want to scoot over here for a minute and talk to Brett Graham. We're going to switch hats here. We're going to go from the big thinking, get the companies off the ground, time, talent, treasure, innovation, and we're going to come over and talk about one really important part of building a business, and that is having a great way to talk about your business. So tell us a little bit about Blue Tone and what you do.
Okay. Yeah, we're Blue Tone Media, and we are a local web design company here in Wilmington. We do all kinds of websites, single-page sites. I think you guys might start on a single-page site, and then we grew from there.
You got it.
Yep. So we can start small and grow, depending on your needs. A lot of times we'll do five-page informational sites or e-commerce sites, sell Mimi Jumi or whatever you need to sell. We just we work with what you need and get you a product that you're proud of and that we're proud of making for you.
Is it 100% web?
It is not 100% web. That's our main focus, is web design. We do a lot of aspects of web, SEO, AdWords, social media, whatever you need help with there. But we also do print design, logo work, business cards, whatever you need.
So sort of a full service.
Mm-hmm. Try to be full service.
Excellent. How long have you guys been around?
We've been around over 10 years now. Started in a garage and with one employee, and it's grown to three. When I came, there were about three of us. And now we have 17 over in the Murchison Building in downtown Wilmington.
A spanking new space.
Yeah. Yeah. We used to be building mates. And
yeah, we should
be. You were one floor below us on the ninth floor, and now we've moved to the sixth floor.
And pretty much took over most of the whole thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They helped us out renovating and got nice hardwood floors and open ceilings.
How'd you choose downtown?
It just made sense. We worked with a lot of businesses in the area that were downtown, and you know, we've grown outside of the area now.
Sure.
But we wanted to be local. And we wanted to be easy to get to for people all over, so we could have people from Leland and Myrtle Beach area come and meet with us whenever they need to.
Sure, that's great. So can you tell us about any of the kinds of customers that you work with?
We work with all aspects, you know, all
Give
types of customers.
Give us a case
study. One we're working with right now is Bojangles.
We're doing
a regional Bojangles site. We work with Home Telecom in Charleston. So we just...
So that's interesting if you think through the whole Bojangles thing. So it's a franchise, is it?
It is.
And so they have the National Bojangles website. And are they creating their own individual Cape Fear, essentially, website?
It's more of a regional. It has several other locations on the one site. So we work closely with a marketing company and get what they need and put it out there on the web for them.
So I'm just curious about, you know, the business end of that, because you've got to be able to plug into what corporate's doing.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And how from, for those of us who are not brilliant about how these things point, how if someone just puts Bojangles in on their phone as a search, how do they know to go to your site as opposed to the corporate site?
Right. If they were to search for Bojangles, say Jacksonville, this site would probably, you know, rank higher. Right up there with the corporate site. And it's interesting because you look at the site and they offer a biscuit that you can't get around in other areas. They have a cheddar biscuit that is featured on the site that other Bojangles don't have.
So you're allowing for some sort of localization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we tie it in. Yeah. Tie it in with the corporate look and but can customize it accordingly.
Yeah. Most of your team seem to be web pros. Mm-hmm. And so... Our web, the old-fashioned term of webmaster, I remember, 1994, we had webmasters, and we thought that was such a funny term. It's like, why do you need a master?
Right.
Does that mean I'm your slave?
Yeah.
and yes, indeed, I was the slave to the webmaster. I mean, that's literally how it played out. Mm-hmm. Today, it's a little more, people have to talk to each other a little bit more.
Yeah.
They've given up a little bit of their control, a little bit of their power. When you need a new website, how does it work? What's the experience like for you essentially in charge of dealing with clients? So how do you work with the client to help them understand how all these things have to fit together?
Yeah. Well, I get to work with the clients after their site goes live. So I get to help them and kind of be there for them, be their support. And I have a few webmasters, as you mentioned, that work with me, I work closely with, and help them get their clients' needs. So once a site goes live, we're able to step in and say, hey, this is something new you might want to look into. This is, you know, any new technology or anything coming out that is going to be beneficial to them. We try to offer them, you know, we show them reviews, stuff like that. So they're always cutting edge, because nowadays it's not enough to just have a website. You know, you have to have the Facebook and do SEO to,
and it has to all look the same.
Yes.
So we have to maintain that brand. Mm-hmm. Are you guys introducing new technologies, iBeacon technologies, any of those kinds of things into your client work?
We're doing a lot of geolocation, things like that lately, and that's always exciting. We're doing responsive design is a big thing we're doing lately.
It's a requirement.
Yeah.
I mean,
pretty much.
Anybody who doesn't have a responsive site, they might as well just forget it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So it's something, especially for, we do a lot of restaurant websites, and that's just a must. We used to, you know, a few years ago, everything was mobile. You'd make a mobile version, but in the last few years, responsive has really come a long way. And just to give you a little idea of what that is, responsive design, it just kind of adapts to whatever browser or device you're on. So it's going to look best. It's going to be optimized basically for whatever you're viewing a website on.
And it just knows.
It knows. Yeah. Well, it kind of knows. We have to tell it. We tell it what to do. And it
you say, oh, this is an iPad. Yeah, right?
Yeah, exactly. So we define certain breaking points, as we call it, as pixels change. And we hide things and show things and get it looking good across the board.
You guys have really expanded your customer base over the last 5 years in a big way. Mm-hmm. How do you find your customers? How do they find you? What do they think is so unique and different about what you're offering them?
I think they find that our customer relations is very important. We try to have a quick turnaround time. If you need something simple, we can do it right away. Call us up and need a change on your site, or, you know, a lot of things we can do in within 24 hours. And I think that kind of gets away from, you know, a lot of people are not doing that anymore. It's you get in a queue system, and we have a queue system, but it's a quick queue. You know, we try to hammer it out fast, or let you know how long it's going to take, and really work with you. And
I've always been really impressed as a user at how quickly things get resolved. And, you know, there's always someone right in front. Mm-hmm. Never waits. I mean, I'll contact Megan and it's fixed.
Yeah.
It's just done.
I know we've had email issues with you, and we've popped over and, you know, try to help out as quick as we can. That's what we're all about, just helping and getting things resolved as quickly as possible.
Absolutely.
If there's an issue.
Very cool. Well, this is great. I really want to thank everybody for coming into the studio today and helping Wilmington's business grow. We really appreciate your time.
And one of the things that I'd like to mention to the audience is, you know, and as you know, one of our favorite things is we're trying to develop a culture, you know, around the CIE and Seahawk innovation. And entrepreneurs work really hard. You know, Brendan is above average, but typical. You know, I mean, it's 20 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in a global business, a global innovative business. So we have a celebration of entrepreneurism roughly every 2 weeks in the spring and summer, and we call it the board meeting, B-O-R-E-D, because by Friday afternoon, you are burnt to a crisp in the hot sun and of the blaze of entrepreneurism. And so,
well, the fact that it usually happens on a deck somewhere doesn't help with the board either.
Well, and the
your
deck,
triple entendre.
And the triple entendre, and the deck is fantastic. I would encourage anybody that would like to get involved in celebrating and becoming involved in entrepreneurism, come to one of our board meetings, and you can hit me at my email, tobin@seahawk.biz, and I will add you to the Evite. And just so everyone knows, July 18th, 4 o'clock at the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship, we'll have our board meeting, and we'll have a special guest, which is a prospective portfolio company for us, a prospective investment or consultancy. We don't know yet.
So we get to actually help you decide if you should bother investing your time, talent, and treasure into this great product. Absolutely. That's great fun. Thank you for the invitation. And I want to thank again everybody here for helping Wilmington and business grow. And until next time, this is Anne Ravel-Petcher signing off for Wilmington Business Radio.